Welcome to Chatting Change, a lively conversation about how to navigate some of life's big change moments with me, Rami Chweni, and Nhlakanipho Manqele. We are joined at the kitchen table by Dr. Vuyo Themba. In this episode, we're all about navigating change and resolving conflict. Chatting Change is made just for you by BrightRock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes.
Rami, I really don't have much to say right now. I want to talk to a doctor.
Why? What's wrong?
Because I need a psychologist.
Everyone needs a psychologist.
For relationship advice.
Wait, now wait. All the ships, they need a psychologist.
Let's go sailing with the psychologist.
Let's find
Dr. Vuyo.
Vuyo, you know, Nhlakanipho and I have been chatting change throughout, and I think there's so many things that happen in our lives that bring different changes. We've got small change. Well, I'm not talking about change the money. But, you know, things that change our lives in small ways and in big ways, you know. But one thing that we've always known for sure is that it is not always smooth. And then you find that there's always resistance here and there, especially when it involves more than one person, you know, whether it could be a husband, you know, a wife, it could be someone that you live with, it could be even siblings,
it could be family, it could be other families coming
together. So sometimes, in fact, that's what I want us to like, just kind of get into and see, as much as we know that change is good, and usually, and change changes no matter what happens around us.
Whether you're ready or not.
Whether you're ready or not. Now, there's also the other side of change that like just drives everybody crazy. And we just like try to find out how can we like now resolve it, deal with it. And which is why we brought you here, because
you are cleverer. I'm
cleverer.
Yes, a cleverer. And the pressure
of it all. Yeah.
You know, this one is married. He's got a child.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
and
wow.
A wife.
How old is the child?
My child is turning 3 next month on the 13th. He's quite a little terrorist right now.
Yo.
But I mean, I'm enjoying every moment. Okay. Luckily, my wife and I were Zulu, so there was never really conflict. We're both Zulu, not were, we still are. So there isn't any conflict when it comes to the cultural side of life. But we've noticed that we've had friends that are interracial marriages and interracial relationships, and that's kind of hard. And how do you deal with the psyche of having another culture imposed on you?
Yeah, guys, it's very difficult, eh?
Yeah.
I think also because I find people generally never talk about these things before. You know, we all assume that, oh, but we love each other and that's enough.
Yeah.
And because we love each other, we're going to make it work. And yes, genuinely, we will make it work. But we never, I think people just never consider the realities. And again, it makes sense, hey? When we're in love, everything rose-tinted glasses.
Exactly, and we hope for the best.
Exactly. So so even when people are trying to really be realistic about what is happening or trying to highlight it, we often tend to look at them in a very negative light. But I think for me, I mean, I have my cousin with the same issues. I mean, we're black. She's married into a white family. And I think we all assumed because my brother-in-law knew she was he was going to have to pay lobola.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, that's the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Wow.
Because then my uncle was on some, no, I don't talk to you. I need your delegation.
Yeah, your uncle.
Yes, and then suddenly the dynamics come and my cousin thinks, no, but this he's being unfair. But when you really look at it, it makes sense.
Exactly.
You know?
Famous last words, in my culture.
In my culture.
And
they are Tswana, so it's even, you know, like Batswana, we don't do it this way. And so, I think sometimes we go into these things, especially not only racial relationships, I think all of them. I mean, I'm married to a Tswana, and I just thought, oh, okay, Tswanas and Xhosas often click, but the dynamics are just, you know, and I find
different.
what helps is when we talk about it.
Yeah.
Communication is
Exactly.
Key.
Yeah. But also not just talking, but being open-minded
when we talk. Being honest when you're talking.
Open-minded, honest. because some of us were thinking, no, he's going to be upset,
or
I don't want to hurt his feelings, or he's going to think I love him less. Mm. So then we hold back instead of saying, actually, you know, these things that you do in your culture, I quite don't understand, and I don't subscribe to them.
So do you find that this causes more damage, not talking about it on the onset? Because, yes, because we are all in love, we like each other, everything is all rosy. I think most people think it puts a damper on our newfound love when we now have to deal with the nitty-gritties of what your family is expecting of me and what my family is expecting of you.
How are we going to raise the kids?
Yes, how are we even going to have kids in the first place?
Yes.
Because other people, they get married and the next thing they're like, now what's the next step? We think we should have children. And the wife is like,
I'm not ready yet.
I'm almost finishing my degree. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm in the entertainment industry. This figure is not for carrying a child, not right now. I'm in the prime of my career. So those little conflicts. Now, when someone comes to you, a couple comes to you, for instance, or siblings, because we also have sibling rivalry, and they come and they're like, listen, help us. What is it that you do, or what is it that you are faced with? And the challenge is there when you're dealing with two stubborn ends.
I mean, the first thing is we need to be honest. As soon as there's more than one person, there is going to be conflict. We're not going to agree on certain things. And I think that for me, I always say the starting point is how we think about conflict, because it always has a negative connotation.
Yes.
The connotation is that we're going to fight. And yet, out of conflict, what it basically means is that we are in disagreement.
And
we don't agree.
And now
we're saying, let's try and resolve it. And so not talking about it doesn't help, because it doesn't resolve the conflict. So yes, you're right. It helps when we have those conversations up front. But again, yes, it does bring a bit of a damper in the relationship.
Yes,
you're thinking, because you probably are thinking, but who said I want to marry you? Because now guys starts to talk.
I didn't see that come. Didn't see it?
It's how we also do it. You know, how we introduce these topics. Hey, you know, what do you think? I mean, I've always loved having kids. Have you ever thought of having kids at some point? How do you imagine our kids will be? No, I don't want kids. Not now. Then we can have that conversation around, okay, it would be nice, but actually not in, I mean, I don't see myself having kids in the next 10 years. Then we talk about it. We don't agree, but somehow because of our attitude towards the whole concept of this conflict, we're going to turn it into a positive experience versus a negative one.
Do you think it's best to then enter conflicts whenever you feel there could be a conflict situation, to enter them looking at a brighter end on the other side, rather than going, we're just going to tell you what I don't like, you're going to tell me what,
because ultimately, what are we wanting to achieve? And I think for me, it's always the starting point. So when we say we're going to even have a meeting, what is the end goal? Because unless we're intentional about what we want out of it, then it all falls flat. So even when we having these conversations and this conflict, and you know, it's about saying, what are we wanting to achieve? One of the things we would have established, at least, is that both of us want a resolution. And because we want a resolution, it means we have to be all open. So what happens sometimes is we all come with preconceived ideas. Already I've got an issue with you, and then I'm thinking, but Rami's not gonna. And so, which means when I start, I'm already defending. So, because I'm expecting a response from you, and if I'm not getting it, it blocks the process. Because now I'm shocked. Why is she not responding? Or if you actually respond in the way I thought you would, guess what happens?
It also throws you
then
off.
It's like, I was right. It reinforces that whole the whole idea I had about you. So I think the mistake we often do, we go into these situations ready to fight.
Yeah.
Versus the ultimate goal is to build, or the ultimate goal is to solve this problem.
Okay, we have people that the ultimate goal is to build, to solve problems. We walk in there hopeful, and I'm thinking, obviously, we're going to have a resolution. We'll go home. Yeah. Egos bruised a bit, but we like each other still. Mm-hmm. We are together. But then what happens when it completely turns out to be a whole disaster, where now we are dealing with deal breakers on the table? You know, a young couple.
Like having a baby.
Having a baby, like someone with someone, all of a sudden they decide that I think we must go live in Thailand, but you didn't even think of even getting out of South Africa. Yeah. That's not what you were looking for, because there's so many things that you look at,
and you find that career as well.
Even if we're prepared to work it out, be together, then something, a major deal breaker, is put on the table.
Yeah,
I would rather a deal breaker is put on the table, then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Because remember, even in resolving conflict, there's different ways we do it. There's times where we have to negotiate, where we find a win-win situation.
Compromise.
There's times where you have to forego something.
Yeah.
So one of us wins, one of us lose. And it's part of that process. Mm-hmm. There's times where both of us can walk away feeling like, you know, actually, maybe we're better off. Maybe we're better off staying in South Africa for a couple of years, and then we'll reevaluate at some point. So it's, I think, in most cases, we often think for conflict to be resolved, we have to agree.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't have to agree, but it's me understanding where you're coming from, hearing what you. You know, your experience or your views of it, and then saying, how do I then integrate it into my own understanding of what it requires for us to move forward? So, like you said, sometimes then tensions get high. We need to neutralize things because you can never have a conversation when one of us is there. But again, it's about getting the other person to see how you make sense of things and what's happening in your own mind.
And now in situations where people grow as human beings, of course, and there are certain things that you may have liked when you were younger and you're no longer liking now. For example, going back to the baby thing, I have a friend who unfortunately is now divorced, and that came about with the deal breaker of babies. But now the deal breaker of babies had come from a long time ago, where he was like, I think we should have kids. She was like, I'm not ready yet. We're going to have them later. The next year comes, same story. I'm not ready yet. We're going to have them later.
You think she's going to change?
Eventually, it
keeps
going, and then it got to a point where it's like, no, I'm old now. I'm not going to have kids. You still want to have kids? I don't think I'm ready to have kids anymore.
Oh, sure.
So this guy, this whole time, has been led on by this person. So it, in situations like that, where you feel that there will be no change and the deal breaker,
deception,
I mean, if. I'm a firm believer that we all have the agency and we need to use our agency wisely.
Okay.
So,
which agency?
If I know I'm not ready to have kids, maybe before I go there, we often think, no, she doesn't want to have kids now.
Okay.
She's going to change. Even though a person might have been very explicit that I don't see them in my future at all. For their own reasons.
But what we hope that maybe they'll change their mind.
So you're thinking, okay, she's going to change. But unaware, in thinking that change is going to come, you put your life on hold. And then they make the changes and the decisions that are good for them.
Yes. Yeah. While you wait.
And then we become resentful. And once we're resentful, it becomes difficult to fix things from that point, because then I have to tell you why I'm resentful. But at the same time, when I'm resentful, I can't blame you. I had the choice
to
say,
go with it.
You know what, because you don't see kids in the next 10 years or in your future, I want kids.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for me, the kids are a big thing. So you're non-negotiables. So sometimes we go into these relationships with our non-negotiables clear, but then over time we don't go back to evaluating them. So we fight a fight on the basis of that.
It's like you're fighting because there's like a bit of disappointment because you were hopeful at the end of the day.
Yes.
But now, this also leads me to another thing. In marriages or in relationships, do you think most of the time when there's like this kind of conflicts and there's men and women trying to negotiate things, do you think women are more prone to compromising for the sake of peace or for the sake of, yes, I know we are in this together? Yeah. Because I think usually it used to be expected that if you get married to a guy and he is working, someone needs to sit at home, watch the kids. And I think a couple of times those kind of things are now changing a bit and the wheel is turning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you still feel like, do you feel like women are still more on the compromising side than men are, obviously because of because of cultural reasons, religious reasons, and basically just about anything.
It's a difficult one, but what I'm from people who come into the practice and just from conversations with colleagues, I find that things are changing a bit, where people. Women are talking more, and I suppose with all the feminism, you know, the consciousness of it, people are now aware that even this thing that might be happening, it's not, it might not be a gender-based thing. It might just be a preference that I would like to work. I don't see myself staying at home, and it's got, when I don't do it, it's not because I don't love you, it's not because I disrespect
you.
It's
not who I am.
So it's changing. I find that people are much more open to saying, okay. But also, if you think of why women often had been the ones who had to compromise, I think there's some patriarchal reasons to that.
Yeah,
obviously, many women would not be working. There could be dependency issues, you know, where the levels of independence. So it made it easier, I suppose, for that state, for that way of working to continue.
Yeah.
But I think now, as changes have happened, I'm seeing it's tilting.
Yeah.
But then, when it tilts, does it not become even more complicated?
Yes. Because remember, you're shaking a system that's been working.
For years.
For years.
Yeah, like forever.
And it's been working, like it or not, it's been working on both sides. Because there's benefits that women were deriving. Okay? But there's also benefits that men were deriving from it. And so, and that's why change is difficult. Because then we're not willing to let go of something. We think, I just need to pick up from here, and it needs to add up, without really understanding and thinking that for me to have this, I need to then forgo this. So if I'm saying, babes, now you're going to be, we're going to share the household, which means babes now is not going to bring the money that I had expected, because I need to also start contributing. Whereas before, I could easily, babes could easily say, hey, anyway, I'm bringing all the money. That's why I'm not home on time. So those are the dynamics.
You can no longer use the generic excuses. Of not being
home. And this is what then makes the resolution of conflict even exciting, because then it allows us the opportunity to explore creative ways that were not so obvious at times. That, you know, babes, we can both work and we can both take care of the household. Maybe you work 3 days because there is flexibility in your work. Or I work half a day, you pick up the other half a day. You know,
or
now
we can.
Or I can work from home. And you good with the kids when it comes to homework and all of that other stuff, or the academic stuff. You take care of that.
What I'm hearing from you, I feel like it's wiser to be in a relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship or just friendship or whatever, but to go with the mentality of going, we just need to pick up where there is slack. There is no designated job. This is for females, this is for males, or this is for you. We just need to do what needs to be done so that things can work.
For our relationship, whatever it is.
But then let's talk about family conflict.
Okay.
Because you and me can be in a good relationship. We like each other. We know what we want. We know what we want to achieve. We even spoke about not having children or having children, moving to Thailand or not. And then you find your squeezer and my squeezer over here, and parents, uncles, the same way that you said your cousin now, the husband had to go find his uncles and the delegation for the Lobola negotiations. And now you find that family usually comes and interferes into your decisions as a couple, for instance. Yeah. And I know my mother does that a lot. Okay, and she means well. We know, and we know how to kind of like they always mean well, and we know how to kind of like, you know, make it just like, no, it's fine, just leave it alone. Mm. Because sometimes you find that the families, when they come together, the energy or the force is so strong, and you find that you guys, even though you are okay, because your families are pulling at you guys, then it has strain on a relationship because now come on, this side is pulling this side.
Yeah. But Rami, for me, that it's also an issue of boundaries, hey?
Okay. Yeah. Hi, but have you heard a Zulu man going, Uma?
No, yes.
My
yes.
mother.
But
you
remember,
don't touch my mother.
It's also how we negotiate these boundaries.
Yeah.
And when they don't work for us, it's to be honest, to say, sorry, I can't do mama.
Yeah.
Ma, I can't.
This is between you.
Okay, I know the Zulus and the babies.
Yes. But yes, ma, I can't do it. But most of us are not honest from the beginning to say, listen, I'm independent.
Yeah.
And if my boundaries around to for me to protect this independence, this is how I generally deal with myself. And now in Tlhakanipho, you say, okay, Nami, I'm like this, and this is how. And then we need to agree as a couple to say, what are our boundaries? And what how do we then communicate them to you? And this is where then we can be strategic. So, because we know how Ma is, so we don't outright fight Ma off. It's like, oh, okay, Ma. And then once we're alone,
we know.
We know. We do our own thing. We do our own thing. So Ma wants, you know, the babies, we need to use the towel nappies. Yeah. And okay, Ma,
you must
it's fine.
Breastfeed
we'll,
up until
we'll,
this
we'll
point.
We'll buy the towel nappies. But that, when we're alone, it's like, ah, babes, you know the towel.
There's a Pampers special.
They're not
going
to work.
No, but also, I know like, these are like very, very, very light, examples, but I know when we know that Uma is coming. And there's some things that Uma doesn't like. And we know in our culture, especially black women, we know that when his mother is coming that week, you know, you're not going to wear your pants. You're not wearing your wigs or your weaves. You'll be wearing a duke for the entire week.
And
three meals a day. You don't wear makeup. And I think that happens because we are not brave enough to resolve the conflict and say, listen, this is us. Instead, we brush it off and say, ah, it's just 4 days off. Let's just handle her for 4 days. As soon as she leaves, whoo!
But remember, there's things that are worth living because it's just 4 days.
Yes.
But there's those that...
That can linger.
Cannot. Yeah. We can't just say it's 4 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it costs me nothing to wear a skirt when Ma is there.
Yeah.
It costs me nothing. It takes away nothing. Yeah. But when Ma suddenly says, hey, your kids are not, you're not going to take your kids, you're not driving your kids to school.
Yeah.
Mm. They must walk. Hey. And I know, I know.
Your kids cannot walk.
They can't.
Yeah.
It's that's where my agency comes in to say, no, babes, we have to tell Uma that Ma, we understand this is why we're doing it. The courage comes there. Because most of us, we don't have, like you rightfully say, Ram, we don't have the courage to have these conversations because we already preempt the
And we're also scared.
The end. We're and we're scared.
Yeah, we're scared.
But also, that's what I'm saying. There's those where it has to be, it's 4 days anyway.
Yeah, no, guys,
cooking for 4 days is
we
nothing.
We can spend 4 days talking about this topic, you know.
But then
I think
at
we
the
have
end of the
fix
day,
our relationships outside.
For the love of peace?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I
Thank
suppose
you
we
for
could
this.
Do that.
We hope you've enjoyed Chatting Change, made just for you by Bright Rock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. For more needs-matched content like Chatting Change, visit changeexchange.co.za.